English USA vous présente African Voices in Conversation, des conversations en anglais qui ont attrait à la vie quotidienne au Sénégal. Pour télécharger ces leçons, allez sur le site internet www.lavoixdelamérique.com, cliquez sur Apprenez l'anglais et retrouvez les leçons d'anglais spéciales Sénégal. C'est un officier des douanes qui va bientôt à la retraite. Pendant des années, il a vu un homme traverser la frontière à bicyclette, un grand sac derrière lui. Perplexe, il veut percer le mystère du grand sac à l'arrière du vélo. Écoutons leur conversation. Vous répondrez vrai ou faux, true or false, à ces deux énoncés. 1. L'officier des douanes voulait savoir ce que l'homme à la bicyclette cachait dans le gros sac. 2. L'homme à la bicyclette trafiquait les marchandises contenues dans le grand sac. Vous allez ensuite répondre à ces trois questions. 1. Qu'est-ce que l'homme à la bicyclette transportait dans le gros sac? 2. Que trafiquait-il en réalité? 3. Pourquoi les achetait-il à Bantuka? Vous apprendrez enfin comment utiliser en anglais le present perfect.
Stop, old man. Get down off your bicycle.
Hello again, officer.
I have seen you crossing this border for years.
And I've seen you standing at the border, stopping me every time and asking me to get down for years.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Bantuka. I have relatives on the other side of the border.
What is in the big bag today?
I bought some presents for my people, plus some newspapers, some old gloves, old shoes.
Every time I have checked inside the big bag, you carry on your bicycle. Every time, nothing.
And every time, I haven't given you the same answer.
Is that the truth? You're not smuggling anything?
Of course it's the truth. I'm not smuggling anything in my bag.
Come on, old man. I just know you're a smuggler. I'm about to retire. Can you please tell me the whole truth?
You really haven't noticed yet?
No. What have you been smuggling all this time?
Bicycles. They are cheaper in Bantuka. I cross the border with an old bicycle, buy a new one in Bantuka, and ride it back to the big city to sell it there.
Ya Allah, how could I not notice that?
Easy. You only notice the big bag.
Sorry, old man. Now I know your smuggling strategy. Give me the bicycle.
No, I'm sorry, officer. This is my old bicycle.
Vous avez entendu l'officier des douanes et le vieil homme. L'énoncé 1 est vrai. L'officier des douanes voulait savoir ce que l'homme à la bicyclette cachait dans le gros sac. L'énoncé 2 est faux. L'homme à la bicyclette trafiquait les marchandises contenues dans le grand sac. Voilà les réponses aux questions. 1. Qu'est-ce que l'homme à la bicyclette transportait dans le gros sac? Des cadeaux, des journaux, de vieux habits et de vieilles chaussures. 2. Que trafiquait-il en réalité? Des bicyclettes. 3. Pourquoi les achetait-il à Bantuka? Parce qu'elles coûtent moins cher à Bantuka. Écoutez et répétez ces phrases que vous avez entendues dans la conversation.
I have seen you crossing this border for years.
I have seen you standing at the border.
I have checked inside the big bag.
I bought some presents.
Ces phrases sont au present perfect. Elles expriment des actions passées qui ont un lien avec le présent. On forme le present perfect en conjuguant l'auxiliaire to have au présent suivi du participe passé du verbe. Voilà d'autres exemples. He has caught the old man. The villagers have sold bicycles. We haven't heard the music. Vous avez suivi la conversation entre l'officier des douanes et le vieil homme. Vous avez découvert le mystère du grand sac, ou plutôt celui de la bicyclette. Et vous savez utiliser le present perfect, n'est-ce pas? Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com. Welcome to Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph.
E-mail.
Vous allez entendre l'expression e-mail, qui signifie electronic mail, courrier électronique. E-mail. Et répétez. Repeat. E-mail. Une phrase utile quand il s'agit de e-mail. To check the e-mail. Jeter un coup d'œil sur le courrier électronique. Le vérifier. To check. Le regarder. To check the e-mail. To open your email, l'ouvrir. Let's check our email.
Let's check our email. We have an email from Susan Shaw in Chicago.
Jetons un coup d'œil sur notre courrier électronique. Si vous n'avez pas une adresse électronique chez vous, il est fort possible que vous avez accès à cette boîte aux lettres sur un site comme Yahoo ou Hotmail et que vous allez vérifier votre adresse email régulièrement lorsque vous vous rendez à un cyber café, à un cybercafé. Have you checked your email? Avez-vous vérifié votre courrier électronique? You have an email from your friend. Vous avez une lettre électronique d'un ami. Écoutez la conversation qui suit dans un bureau.
Good morning, Max. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. And you?
Just fine.
Vous avez entendu la façon dont on se dit bonjour le matin dans un bureau. Good morning, Max. Bonjour, Max. How are you today? Comment allez-vous aujourd'hui? Ou bien, comment vas-tu aujourd'hui? Fine, thank you. Bien, merci. And you? Et vous? Et toi? Just fine. Bien. Just fine. C'est littéralement tout simplement bien. Écoutez le reste de la conversation. Listen.
Now let's check our email. We have an email from Susan Shaw in Chicago. Max, she has a question for you. Her question is, do you come from Los Angeles?
Do I come from Los Angeles? No, I don't. I come from San Francisco. I don't come from Los Angeles.
Une autre façon de demander à quelqu'un d'où il vient ou d'où elle vient, quand on a l'impression d'être presque sûr de l'origine d'une personne, c'est de dire « Do you come from Dakar ?»« Vous venez ?»« Tu viens de Dakar ?» En fait, on s'attend alors à une confirmation. Et vous pouvez répondre positivement « Yes, I do !» ou bien négativement « No, I do not !» En contraction « No, I don't !» I come from Guinea. I don't come from Dakar. Répétez après moi. Do you come from Gabon? No, I don't. I come from Congo. Écoutez, listen. Écoutez, Kathy.
Do you come from Los Angeles?
Do I come from Los Angeles? No, I don't. I come from San Francisco. I don't come from Los Angeles.
Et quand on n'a aucune idée d'où vient une personne, on demande la question générale. Where do you come from? D'où venez-vous? D'où viens-tu? Come from signifie venir de. Where do you come from? C'est assez différent que Do you come from Dakar?
Vous venez de Dakar? Écoutez, listen.
Where do you come from?
I come from San Francisco.
Where do you come from?
I come from New York.
Where do you come from?
I come from California.
Where do you come from?
I come from the U.S.
Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. Until next time, à la prochaine fois. Nous allons voir Martin Lerner qui visite le parc national de Yellowstone. Il demande à des touristes ce qu'ils aiment et ce qu'ils n'aiment pas. Vous apprendrez aussi à exprimer ce que vous n'aimez pas. English USA est diffusé en direct de Washington. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Guide. Guide, votre guide. I'm your guide. Je suis votre guide. We're going to walk. On va marcher. We're going to walk. Please stay together. Restez ensemble, s'il vous plaît. Please stay together. Please stay with me. Restez avec moi. Stay. Restez. I like the park. I like the forest. I like the mountains. I like the rivers. I don't like cities. Je n'aime pas les villes. I don't like bugs. Je n'aime pas les insectes. Bugs. C'est un terme général pour tous les insectes. Bugs. I don't like bugs. What don't you like? What do you like? What don't you like?
Good morning. I'm Judy. I'm your guide. This is Martin. He is a reporter. He's writing a story about visitors to the park. He's going to ask some questions.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning.
We are going to walk for 3 hours this morning. Are you ready?
Sure.
Let's go.
Yeah. Please stay together. I want to see all of you. Let's go.
Judy, do you like your work?
Of course. I like the country. I like the forests. I like the mountains and the rivers. I like the clean air.
Where are you from?
I'm from Los Angeles. I don't like cities. I don't like hot places.
When did you come here?
4 years ago. I lived in Denver for 2 years. I didn't like Denver. It's a very big city.
Do you like being a guide?
Very much. I'm outside all day. I don't like being inside.
Where do you live?
I live near the park. Please, stay with me.
I'm going to talk to some of the other people. See you later. Hi. Is this your first visit to the park?
Yes, it is.
Do you like parks?
Yes, we like parks. We live in the east, but we like the parks in the west. This is my wife.
Hello. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
What do you like here?
I like the animals.
What don't you like?
I don't like the people.
There are many people.
I don't like the bugs.
What don't you like?
I don't like camping.
But I like camping. Do you like camping?
No, I don't like camping.
Men like camping.
I don't.
I don't.
Il y a des choses, des événements, des activités ou des gens qu'on n'aime pas. Écoutez bien comment on dit « je n'aime pas ». « I don't like ». C'est la contraction de « I do not like ».
I don't like. Rappelez-vous, avec un verbe, I don't like camping. I don't like walking. I don't like talking. Ou bien, l'infinitif du verbe, I don't like to camp. I don't like to walk. I don't like to talk.
I don't like cities. I don't like hot places. I don't like Denver. I don't like being inside.
What don't you like?
I don't like the people. I don't like bugs. Do you like camping?
No, I don't like camping.
Répondez, yes, I like, si vous aimez quelque chose. No, I don't like, si vous n'aimez pas. Essayons ensemble. Do you like camping? Aimez-vous le camping? Yes, I like camping. Do you like bugs? No, I don't like bugs. Do you like cities? Aimez-vous les cités? No, I don't like cities. Do you like the country? Aimez-vous la campagne? No, I don't like the country. Do you like walking? Yes, I like walking. No, I don't like walking. Allez-y maintenant, répondez aux questions de Martin Lerner.
Do you like camping? Do you like bugs? Do you like cities? Do you like the country? Do you like walking? Thank you for your time. See you later.
Okay.
Utilisons I don't like avec le verbe être, to be. I don't like being late. Je n'aime pas être en retard. Répétez après moi. I don't like being late. I like being outside. J'aime être dehors. I like being outside. I don't like being inside. Je n'aime pas être à l'intérieur. Inside. I don't like being inside. I don't like being late. I like being outside. I don't like being inside. Encore une fois. I don't like being late. Je n'aime pas être en retard. I like being outside. J'aime être dehors. I don't like being inside. Vous devriez à présent pouvoir exprimer assez facilement ce que vous aimez et ce que vous n'aimez pas. Exercez-vous à haute voix en pensant à vos activités régulières et à votre goût de certaines choses. Until then, practice hard. Goodbye. Bienvenue à Anglais Télé. My name is Michelle Joseph. You can find us on Facebook, Anglais Télé. I have a guest with me.
Je m'appelle Daniel. Bienvenue, Michelle, aussi.
Bienvenue, you're Daniel. Right. Welcome to Anglais right. Télé. We're very happy to have you. We are looking at suffixes and prefixes. Prefixes first. So,
right.
These are the little letters that go before a word to change the meaning, or after a word in the case of suffix,
right,
to change the meaning. So we had arrived at un. U-N, it's actually the letters U-N in front of a word. Like unnatural.
Unused.
Unused. Unprepared.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. You're in school and your teacher gives you a quick test.
Ooh.
And you're not ready for it, you're unprepared.
Absolutely.
Right?
And sometimes.
And the teacher won't like that and she'll give you a bad grade.
So unprepared, that was a good one,
right.
Daniel. How about unconvincing?
How about unconventional?
Right. Well, let me go with unconvincing say, Daniel, I'm really scared of the little cat in the corner. Am I convincing?
No.
I am not convincing, no. So I am unconvincing.
Now, if you want to say that, you say, oh, the cat in the corner tried to scratch me and meowed at me and hissed at me, and then I believe you.
Yeah, that was convincing.
Yeah.
So unconvincing is the opposite. So it's kind of the opposite of it's not. It means that it's not.
Right.
Whatever it is. Are you a natural on the air, Daniel?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he is.
I'm not.
Right.
I'm not unnatural.
He's not unnatural. He is natural. Okay. So there, we've understood the un, which means not. Okay. How about to re? To re means again. Re is like, again, like repetition. Re.
Revisit.
To revisit. Oh, yeah, I love revisiting.
It means, look at something again.
Yeah, or to go visit a place again, something that we love, the place we love too. Or what about re-entering a room? Like, you've entered it once, you've exited, and you re-enter. Yeah?
Right, you re-enter. Or a scientist might say, I've got this frog here, and I'm going to reanimate this frog.
Ooh, how's he going to do that?
She's going to put some electricity in the frog, and the frog's going to... And the frog wasn't dead anyway.
Okay, yeah, that's the secret. Now, Dan's example was to reanimate. So basically anything with re is bringing again, bringing it back.
Something back, yeah.
Or going again into something. So a return of sorts. Okay, so how about a in front of word or an? So like... Amoral. Oh, that was immoral. Amoral. Something that happened and it really was wrong. It was not good. So it didn't have something in it that it should have had. So amoral is a good one. Something's amoral.
Yeah.
Or do you say amoral or immoral?
Immoral.
It's not very common.
It's not used a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
Or asocial. You know, someone who really does not like social situations.
He's asocial. That person doesn't like being around people.
Right. So
doesn't like doing anything with people.
Right. And it's interesting that is a negative, the or an, like anesthetic. Something that's going to put you to sleep, basically, an.
Right.
Or an anesthesic. There's another one that's medical where it also puts you... It numbs you. It just ends all pain.
Correct.
Do you have another example with Anne?
No. Let's see.
Yeah.
But you can use for titles to a movie.
A movie?
A trip, a plane, a flight.
Oh, yeah, but in this case, it's not attached to the word. It's separate.
Oh, right,
separate.
It's a separate, right.
Yeah, because A in that place... in that regard, is used as a
modifier for the
an article.
Yeah.
A movie, or an article.
Right.
But that's quite different from...
It's not a prefix.
Asocial.
Right.
Amoral. Apolitical. He's not political at all.
Right.
He's apolitical. It's hearing. You have to hear the context in which the words is used.
Right.
And understand that it means something that has nothing in it without something.
Right.
Actually, that we can follow that up with ab, like something that's abnormal. That's nearly like, you can't say anormal.
No.
In French, you can. Anormal, c'est anormal, actually. But in English, they'll say ab, which means it's away from, it's also... distinct from, so...
Well, like abstain, or you put yourself away from doing something that you want not to do, or somebody doesn't want you to do, or wants you to do.
So you abstain.
You say, I'm going to abstain from that.
Or to abduct someone, you're taking that person and moving them to another place, like...
Well, in Congress, they abstain all the time. When our Congress in this country votes for a law, there's a yay note, a vote, and a nay vote, yes and no. And then there's a lot of senators or congressmen who will say, I'm abstaining from that vote.
Right.
It means I don't want any part of it. I'm not going to vote for anything, yes or no.
Right.
And that's to abstain.
So ab, when you're adding ab, the suffix ab, you're staying away from that particular
issue.
Issue.
Absolutely away.
Absolutely away.
Yeah, away.
Okay. And how about ambi? Ambi, it reminds me of the bi that we saw earlier.
Right.
Ambi means both at the same time. Like
ambidextrous. Right.
My dad is ambidextrous.
I wish I was.
That means you can use your right hand and left hand, both of them comfortably. I have a son who's kind of like
that.
You
can play baseball with this way or this way.
Right.
You can golf this way or that way.
So ambidextrous,
right?
And
yeah.
Or ambivalent. So you have the both ideas and you're not sure, and so you're ambivalent.
And so you don't really want to make any rush into any decision at
right,
all.
Right, no commitment
no,
at all.
That's it. It means no commitment.
Because you're in the middle. You're right. À cheval, as they say in French.
Exactly.
À cheval. So your legs are on both sides of the issue and...
And you're not anywhere.
Exactly. Ooh, ambivalent.
Yeah.
Ooh, now, instead of that, we're coming into centro. Centro. Around. Actually, I don't have that many examples with that.
Centrifugal.
But concentric.
Yeah.
Centrifugal, which is kind of a medical term when you're, you know, mixing blood and things like that. Right?
Right.
We don't know much about this thing, so we're going to kind of...
But it's centrifugal force.
Right, or centro...
Centrifugal force, and when the astronauts rehearse for going into space, they put them in this big circular thing, and it goes around very, very fast, like that. And it makes centrifugal force,
okay,
which is from gravity pushing them out at a certain pressure toward a certain number of G forces, which is one or two or three or four or five times their body weight, pushing out on this capsule. And, you know, the face goes down like this. That's centrifugal force.
Absolutely. Okay. Now to... So we're going to move from that centro, which is basically centric, the center.
Right.
And we're going to go to dis, which means to go apart. So to disengage, you know, just like I think the troops in certain countries, the U.S. troops are disengaging in Afghanistan.
Right. They're coming home.
They're breaking apart. They're moving away from, So, or for example, if a lady is engaged to a gentleman and they break that engagement, they don't say, I'm disengaged.
They don't say disengaged, no.
I'm disengaged.
They say, I'm not engaged
I'm
anymore.
No longer engaged. But basically to part, or let's say discomfort, that's another one, discomfort.
Well, being unengaged might cause discomfort, too.
Yes, right.
Right.
You hear Dan with his puns, that's quite good. So,
okay.
Disengagement, discomfort, so discord if people don't get along, that's discord.
And another reason they probably aren't engaged anymore, because there was discord
right.
in the relationship.
Actually, it all links, doesn't
fighting.
It?
Yeah, they were fighting in the relationship. They got unengaged because that caused them a lot of discomfort.
Absolutely. And they had a lot of discord also.
Right.
Okay, so this, we've all understood this.
Right.
Okay, so let's end with that one.